Kurt Peckman is proud to show off his Purple Harp inside his office in Madison, Wisconsin, but he didn't earn the medal the way almost all its other recipients won it. For starters, during his World War II military service, Peckman was the enemy.
Infanterie im Vorgelände von Stalingrad.
Peckman was drafted into the German army from his job at a granite cutting operation. He was sent to the treacherous Eastern Front, and in the bitter cold winter of Stalingrad, he suffered severe frostbite to his feet. It turned out to be a lucky break.
They cut my boot up. They couldn't pull them off, otherwise the whole foot come off and everything. See, though, they just cut on the back end on the boot, the seam open, see, and then peeled them open like an apple, see, or a pear. And from there, he said, goodbye, you go back to Germany, you're done for, see.
Peckman spent months recuperating, then was sent to Italy to hold off advancing Allied troops. The British captured his unit in late 1943. He was handed off to American soldiers, shipped across the Atlantic, and put on a Pullman car for Camp Ellis, an army training facility and prison near Peoria. From there, Peckman and other German prisoners went to their 1944 summer work assignment, Hoopston. Traffic on Route 9 today zips past one of the only visible remains of the camp, a bare foundation that was once a barracks on the old side of the Illinois Canning Company. A barn to the south that now houses a pallet company once contained more prisoners. They were brought in to help harvest and produce Hoopston's contribution to the national wartime economy, hundreds of thousands of cans of corn, beans, tomatoes, and other vegetables.
I was happy. Oh, yeah. I was happy to be a POW, to tell you that much.
Carol Hicks has researched the Hoopston camp for years. She says the Germans arrived for 2 summers because the War Manpower Commission determined that Hoopston badly needed labor.
The city fathers went through that to get workers, and it was an option that Hoopston could have to bring workers into Hoopston to replace the boys and girls that went to the war.
So about 75 POWs came to town, including Peckman, in the late spring of 1944. This was his typical day on the asparagus picking detail.
Getting off about 5:30, get washed, have breakfast, and then go about 6:30 at the latest, going on the, they were waiting for the asparagus commando out there. If the asparagus was cut, it was maybe 8 or 9 o'clock at the latest, we were done for the whole day. Then you go back to camp, played soccer, played ball, or laid down, goofed off.
It was manual labor, but not slave labor, and not particularly hard in some people's eyes. Peckman says the food was good, and the pay was 80 cents a day, enough for beer and cigarettes. The next year, Kurt Campbell had come back home to Illinois from spending 2 years in German POW camps, where thousands of soldiers died in horrible living conditions. Sitting with his daughter in his kitchen, Campbell still has trouble holding back his emotion when he remembers talking to a farmer in Illinois about the German prisoners he watched working.
So I asked about what if they got in trouble, do they have put them in solitary confinement in, like a little room? Yeah. And what do they feed them? Well, I don't know whether I come away from there with 26 slices a day or a loaf of bread, because I went home and counted how many slices. It just went haywire.
That's okay.
Campbell says it took a while before he could understand why his mother and others helped pack lunches for the German POWs who worked in the vegetable fields.
I didn't think that was too great, but as I aged, or I'll say a few weeks, I decided Mom's knew best.
Not to say that everyone in the area thought of them as welcome guests, at least at first. Dee Allhands was in her teens when she and her friend Mary Ann Fanning went to work at a cannery in nearby Milford. Allhands believes that one of the young POWs took a liking to her, eventually slipping a pack of chewing gum through a large hole on the second floor as she sent ears of corn into a cutting machine on the first.
And I'm looking up this hole, and this guy up there is waving, and he threw down this gum and gestured for me to take it, and I took it, and I knew he was trying to poison me. And so I didn't look up again. I waited for the corn to come down because I thought they were monsters.
There's only one recorded report of an escape attempt from Hoopston. Kurt Peckman says he and the rest of his barracks helped divert attention while 3 POWs slipped out. They didn't get far, though. A farmer in Indiana turned them in 5 days later.
Idiots, in my eye. who in the heck wants to escape when they have it so good?
Hoopston residents looked on as rows of POWs were walked under armed guard, singing German songs as they marched each day from the camp to their work detail in the town's factories. Larry Kuhn was also a school-age boy back then, and since his father was a factory foreman, he had unique access to the prisoners.
It was just getting dark, and the guard knew me, and he let me in, and I went into the barracks there, the one right off of Route 9, and we played cards, and I taught them a few card games and things, and they really enjoyed it.
Tom Layden remembers his father bringing POWs to jerk ears of corn from the stalks of their farm and testing them in German about what they knew about the war's progress.
They used to talk about what had been bombed in Germany. Especially my uncle said, no, that's been bombed. Oh, no, you couldn't get to it. We won't let you get there. We won't let you get there. We always had a good relationship with them, and if it hadn't been for them, we never got crops harvested back in those times.
Those who worked the fields and canneries were the lowest-ranked soldiers. Nazi officers were held elsewhere. Layden and others think they were treated well here because they weren't the ones who prosecuted the war. They were just following orders. And Peckman says even though Americans were dying overseas, people here at home weren't experiencing the direct death and destruction that Europe underwent.
If German bombers came over America and bombed the daylight out of American city and killed people right and left, I don't think the American people would welcome them.
When the war ended, many prisoners weren't immediately freed. In fact, Peckman was shipped to France amid deplorable conditions. He walked away from a camp in 1948. By then, he was dead set on coming back to the U.S., where he was treated so well. 4 years later, he and his wife got that chance. He was naturalized 7 years after that and founded a small company in Wisconsin that cuts monuments and headstones.
He's emblazoned in there now, lettering.
Over time, he's donated several community memorials to the World War II dead. And that is why Kurt Peckman earned one of the few, if not the only, Purple Heart medals given to a former enemy soldier. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.